Stu Does America.
Follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to hit subscribe and the bell for notifications for when we post or go live. Jason Buttrell is here with the latest on the escalation in Iran. The left has picked up their next target for impeachment. We'll go over the details there. But we're going to start by doing the war on women's sports. You know, I spent most of my life, basically my only relationship to women's sports was to make fun of it. Because I didn't care about it at all. And it was hilarious. Frankly, some of it probably even today would still seem hilarious. That being said, a few things sort of changed my mind on this topic. Number one, I had a daughter. So selfishly now I care about her in sports. And so it matters to me. And so I've selfishly flip-flopped. That's one. Two is probably Caitlin Clark, where I just actually enjoy watching her play at a high level on women's sports, where I didn't enjoy other women years ago playing basketball in particular. There are certain sports like tennis and some of the track and field stuff that I could get into from time to time. I'm sure I was into the Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding thing back in the day. There's a few things, but it was pretty limited, especially to more like Olympics events. But really what has me caring about them more is the fact that about half the nation went completely insane a few years ago. And now I think about women's sports much more than I ever thought I would. Why? Because they are under attack. And more than that, and I've said this before when we've talked about this topic, women's sports is a convenient way to talk about it. It's not the most important thing. As I said, I have a daughter and I care about her. I don't want her competing against men and boys in sports if I can help it. Because, you know, it's just I don't think it's safe for her and it doesn't allow her to have the same competition levels that she should have. All that being said, though, it's not the most important thing in the world, right? We're going to be talking about Iran coming up, right? There are really important things going on in the world. The fact that someone wins or loses a medal is really devastating to someone, can be really impactful to a person, but it's not the top of the line. It's just an easy way to understand it. It's like when we can sit here and talk about the fact that, a boy is now saying they're a girl. Well, there's a part of, I think, all Americans that want to kind of just step back from that and say, first of all, I don't want to get in the middle of that. That sounds like I don't get paid enough to think about, how to deal with that nonsense. Because, look, the boy is still a boy. They want to say that they're a girl. That seems like a really difficult situation they're going through. I don't want to be mean to them. I don't care, frankly, what they think about themselves. So let me move on with them when their lives. When you talk about real repercussions, it's just very accessible for people to think about women's sports. And because of that, it has been the focus of a lot of the conversation around this issue. And now a conversation at the Supreme Court. A West Virginia teenager, a trans athlete, and her case, his case, whatever you want to say, goes to the Supreme Court. Let me give you some of the details about this case, because I mean, it is pretty fascinating. Becky Pepper Jackson. Yes, it sounds like kind of like a made up name, frankly. And in a way, it is. The 15-year-old Becky Pepper Jackson is the sole transgender student athlete in the entire state of West Virginia, according to her attorneys. And her bid to continue playing competitive sports in the hands of the Supreme Court now. The justices are scheduled to hear arguments Tuesday. Of course, they already heard them. We'll give you some of the details here in a second about whether Pepper Jackson should continue competing, considering that a state law bans transgender women and girls from playing on women's sports teams. So again, bans men or boys from going on those sports teams. Again, this is tough with the language. I'm going to do my best to try to keep it understandable so you know which side I'm talking about, because I'm reading these stories from the Washington Post. They're phrasing these things differently than I would, but I'm going to do my best to help translate. Pepper Jackson's lawyers argue that the ban discriminates against him for being transgender and violates his constitutional equal protection rights. The state counters that the ban is necessary to preserve fairness in women's sports and that Pepper Jackson should receive no exceptions. Trans women have an unfair physical advantage. Again, men have a unfair physical advantage, no matter their age, because the athletes were designated male at birth, the state argues, adding that its brief biological males are on average bigger, stronger, and faster than biological females. This is something that literally everyone knows. And when I say literally everyone knows it, I mean not just you and me, we can come together. Like if I say, gosh, the minimum wage doesn't actually help minimum wage workers. You and I might say, yeah, no kidding. But like 70% of the population might disagree with that statement. When I say everyone understands this and everyone agrees, I mean it. It's not like one of these things where it's just our side or, you know, maybe our side and some independents. Everyone, including far left lunatics, understand this. They all know it. They all know it in their hearts, in their minds. They all know it. What they admit publicly, what they argue publicly is something totally different many times. But they all know what the truth is here. Every single one of them. This is not like some mysterious information we've stumbled upon. I didn't dig through a government report and find some little notation at the end that indicates, wow, we discovered new information. That's not what's going on here. This is just blatantly obvious things that everyone understands. That's all we're saying here. And of course, that argument is true. And it's important, whether it's uncomfortable or not, to say what the truth is to your understanding. You don't always get it right, but it is important to say it, because if you lose connection to the truth, your society, you know, Trump used to say all the time, you know, if you don't have a border, you don't have a country, right? And of course, that's true, right? Like if you just have a open area where people can kind of come in and out of, and there's no control over what's going on inside of it, where does the law stop? Where does immigration happen? How do these things go on? You really don't have a country as we understand it if you don't have a border. The same thing here. If you don't have truth, you don't have a civilization. If you don't have things that basic, easy things that human beings can agree on, it's really hard to have an understanding that you can share to apply, let's say, the law. We all have the understanding, and this is true, as I just pointed out. We all have the understanding that men are men and women are women. Boys are born boys. They can't just transfer their gender because of a few magical words. Everybody knows that. But if we pretend like we don't understand that, none of these laws make any sense. We don't know what any of them mean. There's a lot of laws that are gender specific. And if you don't have an understanding of what those genders are or sexes are, you don't have any idea what the hell's going on in your world. It's just, you need to have these basic understandings. You need to know which way up is. You need to, like if you say, oh, well, this motorist took a left on red. And they just say, actually, no, it was a right on red. Well, we could see you going left here, sir. It's on the video. Yeah, but I call that right. It's chaos. You have to be able to understand basic things about our world. More on this case, the 2020 Supreme Court case found that trans workers were covered by federal anti-discrimination laws. It has recently handed defeats to advocates for transgender rights. Last year, the High Court's conservatives upheld a Tennessee law that bans gender transition for minors. They also sided with a group of parents who sued to opt their kids out of lessons featuring LGBTQIA2+ storybooks. Polls show that 2/3 of Americans agree with bans on trans women. Again, 2/3 of the Americans are admitting that. More believe it. The science concerning the biological advantages of trans female athletes remains hotly debated. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It's not. There's no debate. What was the wording again? The science concerning the biological advantages of trans female, read male, athletes remains hotly debated. It does not at all, under any circumstance, remain hotly debated. Look at every single track and field record. We just had a situation, the other day, 2-3 weeks ago, where the number 600 tennis player in the world went up against the number one female tennis player in the world. Number 600 male against number one female. To compensate for that, which is interesting, they got rid of the two-serve rule in tennis, so you can't have a hard first serve. Everyone's doing second serves all the time. And they shrunk the court that the woman was playing on by like 9%, so she wouldn't have to cover as much ground. You know what happened? The guy still easily won. There are 100 cases of this. Every single time we talk about this, the same thing is true, over and over and over again. Are there incredible? Could Caitlin Clark kick my ass in a game of one-on-one? Of course she should. Could. There's no doubt about that. There are incredible athletes that are women that are better athletes than a lot of us fat slobs that live life inside under fluorescent lights on keyboards. We get that. But when you're talking about equal athletes on equal sides over and over and over again, we all know men have testosterone. They are more advanced athletes. It's not just because of testosterone, by the way. That's one of the scams they're trying to use in this case. She took puberty blockers, so she didn't have any testosterone. She's not. We'll get into that here in just a second. Pepper Jackson was designated male at birth. That's not what happened. She just was born a male. He was just born a male. Heather Jackson, Pepper Jackson's mother, has testified that, I just can't get out of my mind, Pepper Jack cheese. I just can't. As I'm reading this, this is how pathetic I am. You think I could compete with any good female athlete? I'm thinking about Pepper Jack cheese as I'm doing this story. Pepper Jackson's mother has testified that she noticed early, you ever have like American and Pepper Jack combined on a grilled cheese? I can't say enough about it. I cannot say enough about it. I saw like one of those celebrity chefs do this recipe one time and had American, I think a little bit of maybe cheddar, and then this Pepper Jack. Well, Pepper Jack was the king of this of the entire sandwich. Just being honest with you. Pepper Jackson's mother has testified that she noticed early that there was a difference between her youngest child and her two older sons. In the third grade, Pepper Jackson began to socially transition. Third grade. Unbelievable. Taking her current name, his current name. He later began taking puberty delaying medication so he would not undergo male puberty. At the end of the sixth grade, he started taking estrogen to undergo female puberty because of his treatment. Pepper Jackson never underwent male puberty, according to his legal brief. This is impossible to read these stories. But again, like, this is just presented as news, right? It's just presented as news with there's not a hot debate on that one. It's just Pepper Jackson's a girl. Her throughout the entire story, where they're having a hot debate as to whether male athletes can lift more weight or not. So stupid. Pepper Jackson's lawyers argue that this fact is crucial. He has a physiological musculoskeletal characteristics of cisgender girls and none of the testosterone-induced characteristics of cisgender boys, they wrote in a brief to the court. Now, this is, of course, ridiculous. One way you can tell, and I heard an interview with them this morning, the mom and the daughter, or the mom and the son, that thinks that they're a daughter, and they said... I don't even know who I'm talking about anymore. By the way, did I mention pepper jack cheese on a grilled cheese? Did I get into that? Yeah, I did. Okay, that's really good. Their argument was, I didn't take testosterone. In fact, not even the tallest kid on her team. Not even the tallest kid on her team. She's just another girl, average in every way. Now, obviously, for many, many reasons, that's not true, right? First of all, born a boy, so not probably average of every other girl. Secondly, has a case in front of the Supreme Court. Not a very average situation. Thirdly, you'll be surprised to hear state champion in the discus. Wow, I'm stunned to hear it. Who could have possibly thought that they would be an excellent athlete? But there's, by the way, a hot debate as to whether male or female athletes are superior. Pepper Jackson says West Virginia's ban violates her equal protection rights, his equal protection rights. He also contends that the ban violates Title IX, a federal civil rights statute that prohibits sex-based discrimination in education. The state argues that the ban honors the intent of Title IX, which was enacted, of course, to give women equal opportunity in education. This is what's so great about this case is, we've had many people who I love on the show talking about this issue who are really, reverential about Title IX. I'm not as much I don't love it as much as maybe everybody else does as a precedent. That being said, though, the whole point of it was to protect women's sports. The whole point of it was to protect women to have their own places to go and embrace competition at their own level and, have funding and equal opportunities. The shocking part about this is the same people who back in the day were very much in favor of Title IX because of those reasons are now opposed to its intent because it separates, trans people out of the women's sport. Fascinating. Anyway, in the case of athletics, sex must be taken into account. Sports competitions must be separated by sex to preserve fairness and safety, the state lawyers say. And of course, they're absolutely correct on that. There's no hot debate there. I mean, women can get injured because they're going against much larger men. Here, by the way, here's a picture of Heather and Becky Pepper Jack Jackson. She is, this is, by the way, not, you'd think like, wow, this is a nice, what, they do glamour shots in front of the Supreme. They got a whole photo shoot, by the way, that's available for news agencies to put these posters up. This isn't like, you know, sometimes they have those really fancy, nice photos that like they pay a lot of money to high-end photographers to go out and do this. This is like in the you know, Getty Images, like, which is like the, you know, where you go and you get, you know, we when we're showing you pictures, that's usually where they're from. You know, this is a, they got all these great photos, like these glamour shots in front of the Supreme Court. It's fascinating. By the way, there's another case as well as part of this. I'm running really, really late. I'm ranting too much about pepper jack cheese. That's what's holding us up on this monologue. Two athletes, two students behind challenges to trans athlete laws. The second one, by the way, is a really interesting case. We're not going to talk about it too much because he tried to withdraw the case. Ms. Lindsay Hecox, who attends Boise State University, sued in 2020 to try out for the women's track and cross country teams. He failed to make the teams and instead participated in women's club running and soccer. Ms. Hecox, who receives testosterone suppression and estrogen treatment, moved to withdraw his case in September and said he would refrain from playing school-sponsored women's sports. He cited negative public scrutiny because of the case, and that would distract from his academics and plans to graduate in May. In response, the justices said they would defer a decision about whether to dismiss her case as moot until after Tuesday's argument. Okay, so that one's kind of just out the window. I guess we don't need to talk about this. Here's Riley Gaines, who of course has, you know, made a big name for herself talking about these types of important issues. She was on Fox News discussing whether these cases are really important.
This day is exciting. It is long overdue, but truthfully, I'm irritated. I'm irritated that we have to be here at all. Let me be very, very clear on what the Supreme Court is going to be hearing today. They are not going to be hearing oral arguments on if states must allow women to have sex-based rights and equality. That's not what they're hearing. They're deciding on if states even can allow for women to have rights. We are fighting for the bare minimum, it seems here, Dana. Nonetheless, of course, I recognize this as a fantastic step in the right direction. Now you ask what I'm expecting to see inside of the court. I will expect to see Attorney General McCuskey and AG Labrador's teams argue on behalf of safety, fairness, privacy in areas of undressing, and we will expect to see the other side use words like compassion and empathy and inclusion. But let me be very, very clear. What myself, what my teammates, what girls around the country continue to face at the hands of I hate to make it partisan in this way, but Democratic elected officials and institutions who continue to push along that agenda, it is not inclusive. It is exclusive to the very girls, the very female athletes who the women's sporting category was created to protect and to honor. Mm.
Couple quick things. We're running out of time. SCOTUS leaning is the headline. Supreme Court appears to back bans on trans athletes. Chief Justice John Roberts, whose vote is, of course, likely to be the key outcome, seems skeptical about the challenges brought to by transgender students, you know, to bans in Idaho and West Virginia during today's oral arguments. While the court's three liberal justices focused on the fact that some transgender students might not have an athletic advantage after hormone treatments, Roberts says allowing challenges from a very small group of people could have broader implications. If we adopted that, that would have to apply across the board, not simply just through the area of athletics. It's tough. Oral arguments don't always tell you the story, frankly. At the end of the day, we don't know where Roberts is going to wind up on this. There's going to be a bunch of arguments, a bunch of deals made behind the scenes. Who knows? But generally speaking, you'd expect a 6-3 Supreme Court. I mean, going through some of the other notes I have here, Gorsuch is the one you'd probably be most nervous about. I love Neil Gorsuch. I think he's a good justice, but he's had his probably most famous break with the conservative side was in 2020 on a case sort of related to this. He did ask some questions that might think that he's wavering on some of this. We will see. Alito was very strong, as he typically is. You, of course, you're going to get, I think, no question, Clarence Thomas. And then the other two were Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett, who have previously kind of indicated some skepticism toward these types of arguments coming from the pro-trans side. So you should be okay with at least five justices. You never know. It should be six. It should be nine. Obviously, it won't be that. Yet when you have the Sotomayors of the world, I'm sure you'll look at their three liberals always are together in almost every single instance. But in this situation, it does appear that the odds are in the favor of maintaining these laws. And as Riley Gaines pointed out, this doesn't mean that you trans people can't play, and trans men, I don't know how to phrase it, because trans men, I guess, technically means a woman who says they're a man. So I guess I'll say trans women. Trans women can still play in women's sports all around the country. It's just the opportunity to stop it is what's being litigated here. So we hope sanity prevails, but we don't always have that expectation here in the United States of America. All right, Iran is the other big story. And Iran is, what's going on there is massive. It's massively important. Something we've been talking about on this show and the radio show and Glenn shows over the years and forever. One of the biggest, one of the first specials we did in television at CNN Headline News was about this type of thing happening eventually. It's here, it seems like. What does it actually mean? We'll talk to Jason Buttrell next. Life doesn't really offer pauses anymore. You have to choose them. One thing ends, the next thing starts, and before you know it, the day's over without a single quiet moment in between. And that's where Kindred Harvest fits. Not as a dramatic escape, but as a small, intentional reset, you can actually work into a busy day. When you're dealing with all the news of the day, you need that sort of reset. What stands out right away is the quality of what goes into each of their tea blends. They have whole tea leaves, they have herbs, they have roots, they have flowers that actually look like real ingredients because, you know, they are. No artificial fillers, no flavor tricks, just clean, straightforward tea that smells right, tastes right, and feels grounding from the first sip. Everything about Kindred Harvest feels thoughtfully made because it is. The blends that are crafted to be simple and balanced or without unnecessary processing and nonsense. Even the tea bags are plant-based instead of plastic, so nothing interferes with what you're trying to drink. It's calm, it's done properly, and sometimes that's exactly what you need. Choose American quality. Choose Kindred Harvest, cultivating goodness daily. Go to kindredharvest.co, kindredharvest.co, and use the code STEW for 20% off. It's kindredharvest.co, and the promo code is STEW. I'm joined now by Jason Buttrell, head writer and researcher for Glenn Beck, also host of, what are you guys calling this over on the radio show?
Insider Feed.
Insider Feed. Yes, this is like when you're in between the commercials or whatever. During the radio show, you're going to hear from Jason. He's reading your comments. He's talking back about what just happened on the radio show. And it's been weird. I'm not on the radio show this week. I'll be back next week. But it's just been weird, like, being out of that world. Like, you know, it's such a strange thing. I've been doing it for 28 years. So just not doing it, rolling in and doing this show. I mean, it's been a lot of fun, but it's weird. I will say it's weird.
I bet, yeah. But I've been acquainting myself with what you've already been acquainted with for the past several years, is just like getting to know this audience, you know, through comments and stuff and talking to them directly.
Awesome.
And I love those guys. I mean, they're just amazing, an amazing audience.
They really are. They really are. And they've been part of so many big things over the years, you know. I mean, you know, rescuing people from Afghanistan. I mean, like, things that, like, radio audiences aren't really supposed to be part of.
Things governments can't pull off.
Yes,
but the audience can.
Yes. Speaking of what governments are trying to pull off, I want to, I was watching a seg right before I walked in here. I saw a tweet from The Blaze it was a Donald Trump video, and he said, they asked, it was some reporter asking Trump, like, hey, like, when you say we're going to be there to help them, what exactly do you mean? He's like, oh, you're going to have to figure that out. And then the next tweet under that was, Donald Trump will speak about Iran on Iran tonight. So what is going on in Iran is absolutely incredible. Maybe we get to the Trump part here in a second, but let's start with, like, what's going on? I mean, this is not just a bunch of protests.
Yeah, well,
it's bigger than that.
Yeah, way bigger than that. They've reached that threshold to where it's at the point of no return. So either a huge calamity is going to happen on either side. One of the sides is going to happen. It's beginning to happen right now with the people, the demonstrators, which we can get into that later. But some other things outside the protests, let's stick with some of the other things. Right now, the rial is at a historic low.
This is their currency.
It's so before it was already, let's say before all the demonstrations happened, it was already at this currency has collapsed level. It was already at like 42, 43,000 to one US dollar.
Yeah, it's something like 0.0002 dollars. You know, it's like it was bad anyway.
It was bad anyway. We would look at it and say, okay, yeah, that country is pretty much done. Now, I don't even know if there's an adjective to describe it, because now the currency to $1 is 1.2 million.
Wow.
Per $1. If you look at the euro, it doesn't even register. Like, they're not even saying, it's not worth anything to 1 euro. So yeah, the currency has collapsed. Diplomatically, every single country in the Western world is calling in their ambassador, the Iranian ambassador, to basically say, you guys, you need to stop what you're doing. Heavy, heavy criticism now from the West, which is surprising because it seemed like they were kind of ignoring this last week. But yeah, it is going downhill on the official sides through currency and, you know, diplomatic. On the other stuff we're not hearing too much now about, and it's getting harder because the regime is really clamping down on what communication can get out.
Yeah, they shut down the internet basically, right?
Yeah, they're around 120 hours now of almost a complete blackout from internet, phone lines, everything. I think the only thing getting out now is because of Starlink satellites that are allowing some people to get some information out. But I think they're at tonight, which will be kicking off pretty soon, will mark the 17th day of demonstrations. Spread out all over the country, massive burning buildings, toppling statues. It's significant and serious. And I will say that, you know, this is significant, but it also could still be early stages, which is kind of scary when you look at the death toll that we can get to later. But
yeah, well, let me hit that right here. This is a tweet from Ryan Saavedra, breaking CBS News. At least 12,000 and possibly as many as 20,000 Iranians have been killed by the government of Iran during these protests. I mean, that is, that was a red line. I mean, he said, if you start killing people and these protesters, we're going to do something about it. That might be what we're going to see tonight. These numbers, I believe I even saw a number from an Iranian official that put the number at 2,000. So even they're even admitting 2,000, could be as high as 20,000. Is this, you know, these aren't protests. These aren't rallies. Is this a revolution?
Oh, this is absolutely a revolution. In fact, I think you could call this the true Iranian revolution. Mm. Before 1979, that was just Islamists stealing a country, pretty much. Mm-hmm. This is the true Iranian revolution. And to put those numbers that are staggering from CBS into context, even if it's the low end, even if it's 12,000, if it's that low end, that is, it's earth shattering. So I think about actions like this, that it truly shook the world. China, Tiananmen Square.
Yeah.
So the official numbers, which are definitely not the real numbers, but the official numbers, they're not, I say that because they come from China.
Sure.
Which were around just below 300 people. Shook the world.
And we know it was more than that, but it wasn't 20,000.
Wasn't 20,000. So, I mean, this is, when you say they crossed the president's red line, they crossed it, they hopscotched over it, and ran a sprint across it, is what they did. So it's a point of no return for the demonstrators. They have to continue this out. It's a point of no return for the regime. They have to stop it, and they're doing it violently. It's a point of no return if the president wants to say, I have red lines, and when you cross them, it means something, which means something is going to happen from the United States military very soon.
We saw in Syria with Obama, he had a red line and nothing happened, yep. Right? Trump doesn't seem like that guy. There are times where Trump just says stuff and, you know, doesn't necessarily follow through on it. I feel like that's more on like lower level things though. When it comes to this sort of level, Iran, and you know, before this with Israel, and we went over there and took out nuclear weapons, suspected with nuclear weapon sites. We are at a situation here where Iran seems to be folding itself into the very typical dictator playbook here, where like you start trying to repress, you start using violence, you turn the internet off. Where was that? Was that Libya that they did that? Egypt? It was one of those where they did the same thing. They turned the internet off, and I think as a dictator, you're like, well, we're going to stop this. And then you realize you can't stop it. Like, there's a point of realization that's coming very soon from the Iranian regime that if they don't get this under control quickly, it's over for them.
Yeah, they're not going to get this under control quickly. Mm. Definitely not. And the question is how many, you know, of these brave people are going to lose their lives while they're trying to pull off the real Iranian revolution. And that, I mean, that's why I think U.S. military strikes are a given at this point. The only question is when they're going to happen. If they go the route of, let's say, 2009, when similar uprisings happened in 2009, everyone was begging and pleading just for Obama to acknowledge that this was happening. He wouldn't do it. Instead, he and Ben Rhodes pulled off a little magic trick to try and convince the entire world that the Iranian regime was not radical and you could trust them. Ridiculous.
And then Ben Rhodes talked about in the paper how he was easily able to fool the reporters who were reporting it. I don't know if he thought he was off the record when he said that, but that's basically what he said.
A legendary sound clip even today. And what's insane, what's even more legendary, is that those same reporters still love him for it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, who cares? He lied to us. He's still great. Like, what is this?
Incredible.
Ridiculous. But that was in 2009. 2022, 2023, same thing happened. Not the same thing, but also significant, you know, uprisings, this time under the Biden administration. Again, did basically nothing. Instead, they tried to repair Obama's legacy with the Iran deal. That's what they tried to do. Mm-hmm. So the difference here is U.S. support behind it. And I know a lot of people are uneasy about it. I'm uneasy about it, about where it goes.
Yeah, we don't know where this goes. It could wind up just as bad. It could wind up worse. But when you have a situation for this long where these people have been repressed for this long, I think you take the dart throw and hope that it turns out better. I mean, I'm very excited that this is happening there. It could get very ugly, but for the people of this country, if they can overthrow this awful regime that has been harming this, you know, millions and millions of people for all of this time, even if it doesn't turn out great, at least an opportunity to avoid more time under that thumb, I think is worth it.
Yeah, I do too. And I think there's just so many different angles on this. I mean, this is such a, for one, it's a geopolitical flashpoint. It's a major change, not only in that, you know, part of the, in that region, but all over the world. Iran's one of the largest state sponsors of terrorism, destabilizing the Middle East, sending terrorists to places like Venezuela. They have training camps off islands off, you know, Venezuela. I think I've talked with you about before. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely insane. Massive things will change if that regime goes down. But also, it's the, this is hilarious. So I'm sure you've been following this a little bit, maybe on X. Mm-hmm. You can tell there's this mental gymnastics that a lot of people on the left are going through right now.
Yeah.
They don't really know how to react because this is like this is not only just a revolution, against this oppressive regime. It's actually also a revolution against political Islam. And that is throwing progressives into a complete and total mind screw. They don't know because they've had this red-green alliance. They promoted it. They invited groups like Hamas, you know, into their, you know, sphere as part of the global resistance. Now this makes no sense because, I mean, if it's not compatible in Iran, how can it be compatible in any other Western country? Mm. They're like, I don't know how to react to this. So you saw, I think it was over the weekend, you saw people like AOC, they're like tweeting, so all of a sudden support for Jews.
Yeah, what was that about?
I don't know. I think they don't know what to do. They're like, oh my gosh, like everything's turning upside down. It's crazy.
So let me ask you that. We got about, you know, a minute or two left here, but like, why is this happening now in Iran? Is it related to other things like Venezuela and Russia and you know, what is, why this at this moment more than any other?
Primarily economic, and that economic situation has just been getting worse and worse since 2009, and it's just compounded. And I think at this point, I mean, it was, again, these uprisings began with the shopkeepers, with the small business owners. Mm-hmm. They were the one that came out and said, look, we can't afford food. The price of of bread is, we can't even afford bread. Mm-hmm. You know, it was primarily that. Water shortages was another issue. It was, they lost the ability to just gain access to basic staples of life. Mm-hmm. And
But there's been a long road coming, right, where we had, you know, these big sanctions on them, and then alternately went on from like, hey, we're actually going to be buddies with you, and there's the Iran deal, and maybe their economy comes back a little bit. Trump kind of takes the opposite tact, pushes it down, comes back maybe a little bit with Biden. And now the economy is tanking. But like, is this the new Trump pressure? Is it because a lot of the allies of Iran are having tough times themselves and can't prop them up? Like, what has caused this? Like, what's caused it to, you know, what's the camel or the straw that breaks the camel's back here?
I think there's a big part of this is the fact that Israel and the United States decided together to say, look, we're not going to put up with that bull crap anymore. Mm. And it's kind of like that. I mean, when they decided to strike their crown jewel of the regime, which was the nuclear sites, that was kind of like the scene in, oh, you're gonna love this. That's like the kind of the scene in Rocky IV.
Oh, okay, all right. Remember? All right, you got me.
You see, you cut him. He's not a machine. He's a man.
Man, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same thing here.
Yeah, and that's interesting. And they're vulnerable, and the economy going down, and people are seeing that and want to do something about it. Look, I'm optimistic and hopeful for these people for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
And that's really something. And the fact that the president, you know, for all the beating that he takes from the media, you know, and I see no protests out there. I don't see anyone saying that there's a genocide going on. Insane. Like, you know, the Gaza, the people were all out at all the universities. They don't seem to be caring at all about the Iranian people. Mm-hmm. It's really noteworthy. But we're in a really, the history that's going on. I mean, think about, you know, Venezuela, Ukraine, you know, the Gaza, Israel situation, Iran.
Cuba will fall next.
Cuba's another, yeah,
that's
one.
That
you think that's next?
Yeah, I think that's next. They're not going to be able to survive. I just saw a news report that Mexico, like, we allowed Mexico to send some oil over to Cuba. Mm-hmm. I guess it's kind of like just to make sure they, you know, they get something.
Baseline, yeah.
They have nothing. And yeah, I truly believe that I think within the next at least 6 months, something major is going to happen like this on the Cuban front.
Mm.
Predicting it.
Yes. All right. Let's go to the markets. Jason Buttrell, head writer, researcher for Glenn Beck, host of the Insider Feed on the radio program. Don't miss that. And Jason, thanks for doing this and all you're doing on the radio show. It's been a blast to listen to and see you interact with the audience. So check that out. Of course, it's at glennbeck.com. You can sign up, by the way, free this month, right?
Yep.
Free this month. Just go over there, give them your email address, and that's all you need to do. Jason, thanks.
Appreciate you. Okay.
I have five or six stories here that I want to get to in 4 or 5 minutes to do it. So let me get right to it here. Gavin Newsom vowing to stop proposed billionaire tax in California. This is sort of a storyline here of good ideas and bad ideas. And honestly, this is a terrible idea. Now, Gavin Newsom knows it's a terrible idea, is opposing it because he wants to run for president, not because he has any moral obligation to oppose it. He just, what benefits Gavin Newsom today? Every question can be answered if you ask that question when it comes to Gavin Newsom's actions. Like when he wanted to shut down the state, he believed that benefited him. He had to look tough on COVID. When he wanted to go out to the French Laundry for dinner, that benefited him. So he did that. Like, that is who this man is and will always be. This tax is a, I mean, to say it's a terrible idea is to understate it, but there's questions about whether it's even constitutional to impose, but there is basically it's a 5% tax over $1 billion, wealth tax, not an income tax, so a wealth tax. So if you have $1 billion in property, or you own $20 billion in, you know, stock in Amazon or Tesla or whatever, they're going to come and take 5% of that one time as a one-time fee to pay for health care, supposedly. It's awful. Newsom correctly knows it would be a disaster for the state. Many billionaires are already leaving the state. In fact, Peter Thiel is one of them. He released a tweet noting that he's had maintained an office and a residence in Florida for many years. Just apropos of nothing, just wanted to let you know, I sure like Florida. He's there. There's a bunch of other billionaires that are leaving or have left. The Google founders as well are on that list. It's hard to know if any money will ever be collected on this. But if you want to scare people who are actually bringing economic activity to your state away, you want them to leave, this is a good way to do it. And they're attempting to do it. Newsom, with a sort of fake opposition on this. Bad idea here. Republican introduces bill seeking to make Greenland the 51st state. I mean, this just seems like more of a thing trolling and trying to please Donald Trump, because obviously he's been talking about this. You know, they were talking about, well, you know, the U.S. might be drawing up invasion plans to Greenland. Let me just help you with that. I don't know how much time is being spent. Just take advantage of the treaty we already have, where we can put basically as many military people as we want on the island whenever we want to. Right now, we don't have them there. We're not taking advantage of that. We can just put them there. We don't have to take over the country. We can put as many military members as we want over there on bases. I don't know. Again, when you're talking about like rare earth minerals, there's some arguments there. It would be great. Would I buy it? Would I take it off your hands at the low, low price of $1 trillion or so? You know, I'd consider it. Let's negotiate. I think it would be a great thing for the American people to have. But like the idea of invading it or just like naming it as her 51st state, probably not the best idea. Trump, a good idea here. Trump to meet with Venezuela's Machado on Thursday. I like the fact that Maduro is out of power in Venezuela. The aftermath of this has been a little bit, I'm not sure exactly what's happening. I mean, Machado would be a good pick to go in there and take over the country. She's basically the winner of the election. Technically, she had a stand-in, but she basically won the election. She's the most popular politician in the country. She is friendly to our values. She loves Donald Trump. There's a million reasons why she would be a great choice to be the next leader of Venezuela. But right now, we're just like, what if we just have a Maduro loyalist do it? That might just be a short-term thing. Frankly, and maybe it's one of those things where we're like, well, you know, let's let there's going to be a really tough time here for the next couple of years. Let's let the Maduro regime deal with that and we'll put in somebody after that. I don't know what the plan is. Trump credit card plan that could save Americans billions, according to Axios. Not the way I would see it. I think it would be very terrible. Actually, I think it's a terrible idea to try to limit falsely credit card rates to 10%. It would mean that people who do not have good credit would just not get credit cards. You know, if you can't charge people who are on that fringe a higher rate, they probably just don't get credit at all. And that's just not a good thing. Now, if you have a long outstanding loan that's at 20% or something, you want to lower it to 10%, obviously that might help some people, might save some people some money, but also is going to hurt people in many unforeseen ways. And I also note, who else is also in favor of this? Elizabeth Warren. Do I need to say anything else? Elizabeth Warren's agreeing with Donald Trump. That's how important she thinks it is. She's trying to make Donald Trump look good. The rates are very high, though, when it comes to credit card rates. Kristi Noem impeachment. Yes, I mentioned they're going to go after somebody to impeach. It's Kristi Noem. Of course, ICE being the big story. Democrats really don't have any response to any story other than just to impeach the person they see as involved in it. So that's what they're doing with Kristi Noem. And finally, before we leave this particular segment, Scott Adams, the Dilbert creator, who poked fun at bad bosses, dies at 68. We've talked about his struggles here with his health here over the past few months. Really, really tough way to go. He kind of knew it was coming and said all the things he seemed to want to say, but very, very difficult situation. I will note the New York Times treatment of this was, you know, Scott Adams, Dilbert creator, and man who said racist things on his podcast is dead. Sometimes you think they can't get any lower than this, but they always are always there for you to not let you down. Okay, so here's what happened. Neighborhood home is there. There are people in their house. They look out the back. They have a pond back there, and they notice someone swimming in this the pond. Now, this is not the first time this has happened. They know who this is. They call the police. Police come. They try to get the person out of the water. Won't come. Eventually, a whole incident happens. This is the woman we're talking about here, right here. She was the one swimming in the pond. And why was she swimming in the pond? Well, she wanted to be a mermaid. So now it looks side by side. You might actually detect a real similarity between the little mermaid and her. Maybe not so much. Anyway, she wanted coming after the cops. They tased her and it had no effect. So maybe she is a mermaid. I don't know. But she's in a little bit of trouble. $62,000 bond.